to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Can I say first up and acknowledge that this must be a very difficult time for the family and the friends of Murun Sukumaran and Andrew Chan. You would not be human if your thoughts weren't with them at this time. Can I also express regret that the Indonesian government chose to follow through and proceed with the executions. In all of the circumstances, it seemed like an unnecessary thing to do, and the AFP, like many of our partners in government, for the last several months have worked very hard behind the scenes to try and secure a different outcome. I also need to acknowledge that many in the Australian community are angry with the AFP for our perceived role in 2005 that led to the executions last week. I understand that. We respect and we understand the very strong desire that has come from within the Australian community for the AFP to explain our actions and to give people information about what our role was. For me as Commissioner, it's vitally important that the Australian community understands and has confidence in the AFP and that that confidence comes from them making informed judgments and decisions about our actions. So it's for this reason that we believed that it was important that we stood here and held this press conference today, where we had an opportunity to speak and answer the questions that the community has and to explain what our role was and, in some cases, to correct some of the misreporting that has occurred. In doing so, I have to say up front, it is not necessarily my intention to convince the public to agree with the decisions that we made in 2005. Policing is difficult and it involves making very difficult decisions. What I want to do today is to give the public enough information, the right information, so that they can make informed decisions. What I plan to do today is make a few brief comments myself, and then I will hand to Deputy Commissioner Phelan, who will make a few brief comments, and Deputy Commissioner Close. They will talk about the historical aspects of this investigation, as well as, I think importantly, address how we deal with these matters today. You'll understand that this investigation is complex. It's been complicated from the start. So if we refer to notes at certain times throughout this press conference, you'll understand why. But before I do hand across to my Deputy Commissioners, there's a few things that I would like to say. Contrary to the view of some, the AFP has at all times been open, accountable and transparent for the role that we played in 2005. We've appeared before a number of parliamentary hearings in relation to this matter and answered questions. We've given substantial evidence at criminal trials both here in Australia and also in Indonesia about this matter. We've given substantial information to the Federal Court and given testimony in relation to an action that was brought against the AFP that scrutinised our actions in 2005. And we have made a number of media appearances over the course of the last 10 years. Now, as Commissioner, I welcome that scrutiny of our role, and I believe it may not end today. We've also never denied, however, the role that we played and the role that the information we provided to Indonesian police played in the arrest of those 9 Australians 10 years ago. We chose not to speak publicly about this matter over the last 3 or 4 months. We chose not to speak publicly because we didn't want to negatively impact in any way government's very strong efforts for clemency in this case. That was the right decision. However, it is very different to say that we've never been accountable and we've never answered the questions about this matter. We chose not to do that, and that was the right decision over the last 3 or 4 months. I'd also like to address some of the misreporting that this investigation commenced as a result of a tip-off from a concerned father in 2005. It simply did not. Deputy Commissioner Phelan will provide more information about the investigation in a moment. that the AFP was already aware of and had commenced investigating what we believed was a syndicate that was actively recruiting couriers to import narcotics to Australia at the time of Mr. Rush's contact with the AFP. The simple facts are that at the time we were working with a very incomplete picture. We didn't know everybody that was involved. We didn't know the organisers. We didn't know all of the plans. We didn't even know what the illicit commodity was likely to be. We were not in a position to arrest any members of the Bali Nine prior to their departure from Australia. It's for these reasons at the time that the AFP made the decision to consult and engage our Indonesian partners and ask for their assistance. It was operationally appropriate and it was consistent with the guidelines as they existed then. I can assure you that if we had enough information to arrest the Bali Nine before they left Australia, we would have done just that. Equally, while there has been a great deal of attention placed on the nine Australians that were arrested in Bali in 2005, relatively little attention has been given to the other six syndicate members that were arrested and prosecuted here in Australia as a direct result of the information that the Indonesian National Police was able to provide to us after their intervention in Bali. Had that not occurred, those prosecutions may well never have taken place. Now, as to the question of why they were not allowed to return to Australia, again, Deputy Commissioner Phelan will provide some more information about this too in a minute. But just as you would not expect the Indonesian police to dictate to the AFP, nor any other law enforcement agency in this country, how we should deal with the commission of serious crimes in Australia, nor can we dictate to our Indonesian partners or any of our foreign partners how to deal with the commission of serious crimes in their country. This is the harsh reality for Australians who go overseas and become involved in serious crimes. Transnational crime is just that. It is transnational. The AFP has a mandate and a very strong focus on preventing the impacts of transnational crime in Australia. Our strategy for many years is to take that fight offshore wherever possible to minimise and reduce the impact that it has here in Australia. We are a very lucrative market for drug traffickers. Those people who seek to profit from drug trafficking by organising, overseeing, recruiting couriers and organising importations stand to make a large amount of money. It's well known that illicit drugs, and it's been well spoken about lately, that illicit drugs are destroying our communities in Australia and are destroying our families. Between 2007 and 2011 alone, there were 4,100 reported deaths from heroin and other opiates alone. Now that doesn't include other illicit goods. That's heroin and other opiates alone, 4,100 deaths. So to dent this supply of narcotics, law enforcement agencies in this country, especially the AFP, work very closely with our partners in the region, who, unfortunately, are sometimes source countries and transit countries for illicit goods into Australia. It's a hard reality that many of these countries still have the death penalty for serious offences. For this reason, we cannot limit our cooperation just to those countries that have a similar judicial system or similar policies to that of our own. We must be able to work effectively with those countries that are closest to us when you consider the region that we are a part of. Now, I'm very conscious that Australia has a long-standing opposition to the death penalty. We support that organisationally. We actually support that personally. The AFP's policies and procedures regarding the death penalty are appropriate. They were reviewed after 2005 and they were tightened to reflect the changing environment that we were seeing. They have been endorsed and supported by successive governments and they are monitored regularly and updated when they need to be. Now, Deputy Commissioner Close will say a little more about our death penalty guidelines and how we deal with matters of this nature today. Particularly, though, when we're dealing with transnational crime, it's imperative that we can work with our partners. On the key question of could this happen again, I wish I could assure you that this scenario could never happen again, but I cannot. The guidelines relating to how the AFP deals with death penalty situations has changed considerably since 2005, and we now have a range of additional factors and additional considerations that we must take into account. This is appropriate. But every investigation is different. No two scenarios are the same. And when we commence an investigation, we cannot always predict where that investigation may lead. The revised guidelines that were significantly revised in 2009 tightly manage how we would deal with that same scenario today. But the reality is, and this is important, while every Australian chooses to travel overseas to foreign jurisdictions and participate in serious crimes, especially drug trafficking and transnational crime, that possibility still remains. The Bali Nine is a tragic reminder of the risks associated with people, with Australians who travel overseas to participate in drug trafficking and other serious crimes. If there is to be a message out of these executions that we saw last week that took place, I sincerely hope it is that other young lives are saved by people thinking twice before participating in serious crimes overseas.